Hello, everybody. Josh Brown here, back for another great episode on Franchise Euphoria. Well, today's episode is brought to you by IndieFranchiseLaw.com, a leading resource in the franchise space to help you if you're considering buying a franchise, turning your business into a franchise, or growing your business through a licensing or franchise structure. So go on, check it out, IndieFranchiseLaw.com. I think you'll find a lot of valuable and free information as you continue to kind of weigh franchising and licensing and the growth of your business. Without further ado, I hope you enjoy today's episode. On today's episode of Franchise Euphoria, I've got Zach Omar, a career entrepreneur and cancer survivor. Zach is the owner and CEO of Atomic Wings. He has plans for both international and domestic growth within New York City-based Buffalo Wing chain. Zach's story is so much more than Buffalo Wings. He gets his business chops from his father, an Afghani refugee who started a Wall Street mobile food business before food trucks were popular. Inspired by his dad's hustle and success, Zach became a multi-unit Dunkin' franchisee alongside his brother Ray. The pair then chose to invest in Atomic Wings in 2013. The company's founder was so impressed by Zach that he turned the company over to him. That same year, Zach's father passed away, and Zach himself was diagnosed with leukemia. But rather than slow down, he used his diagnosis as an inspiration to grow his business. Today, the brand has 11 locations open for business in New York and Maryland, and there are an additional 16 locations set to open in the near future, including abroad in Abu Dhabi and Southeast Asia, and in the U.S. in Nevada and Arizona. Without further ado, I hope you really enjoy this interview with Zach Omar. Hello, Zach. Welcome to Franchise Euphoria. How you doing?
Great, great. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, excited to talk to a food franchisor in the midst of COVID-19 and in general. So are you the founder, the CEO of Atomic Wings?
I'm the CEO. The founder is a gentleman by the name of Adam Lippin.
Okay, so how long ago was it founded?
It was founded in 1989, over 30 years ago.
Oh, wow. Long time. And how long have you been involved?
I've been involved since 2016.
All right. So tell us a little about yourself before we dive into the franchise.
Absolutely. So I actually purchased the franchise from Adam, the founder, in 2016. It was really after my bout with leukemia. You know, I had just gotten out of the hospital, and it was something that I've always wanted to do. Is I've been a franchisee of Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin Robbins since 2010. And I always wondered what it's like to be on the other side of things. And, you know, this great opportunity presented itself and allowed me to jump in. And, you know, it's been great since then.
So tell me, I mean, it's unique and also quite good, in my opinion, you know, when people have experience on the franchisee and on the franchisor side. So you were a part of the Baskin Robbins for how long?
Dunkin' Donuts and Baskin Robbins since 2010. So about 10 years now.
And so you're still involved with them?
Yes, I am.
And how's that experience been?
You know, I've learned a lot. When you're just looking into franchising, and especially with a name like Dunkin', you're like, oh, wow, you know, they're going to do everything, and you just got to pretty much open up. It's really a crash course. That's not really how things go. You know, they definitely give you the ingredients to be successful, but you still have to be there. You still have to be able to manage your restaurant and hire the proper teams to ensure a successful franchise.
You know what's fascinating? So a couple of things. So on a personal note, I just went to Baskin Robbins the other day because my family loves Baskin Robbins and has forever. I mean, I remember it as a kid. It's just really good ice cream. And then Dunkin' Donuts coffee is fantastic as well. But, you know, I would say Dunkin', probably more so than Baskin Robbins, although I could be wrong, has definitely gone through some changes over the years, right? You know, Baskin Robbins has pretty much stayed the same, but Dunkin' has really kind of changed its model. I'm kind of curious from a franchisee perspective what that's been like for you.
It's been I trust in the brand, and you know, they've done a lot of research into things, and the way they're headed, I mean, you saw Domino's drop pizza from their name. They just wanted to be known for more than just you know, pizza. They wanted to get their other items on the menu and things of that sort. I think they've made a concerted effort to be known for the beverages, because they did start in the Northeast, and when you look at places where they started, such as Boston and those areas, you know, 90% of the beverage mix, or I would say greater than 70% of the product mix, is beverage. as you go down more south or nationally, they hear Dunkin' Donuts and they're like, oh, donuts. So I think, you know, they made a concerted effort to say, hey, you know, we're more than just donuts. We provide the whole breakfast from the coffee to the espressos to the sandwiches, you know, the whole meal. So, you know, I think it's been great.
Well, and then on the ice cream side of things, I mean, things have been fairly consistent with Baskin Robbins over the years.
Correct. Correct.
So you're in the food side, obviously. What got you or gave you the itch to go on to the franchisor side? I mean, how did this opportunity come about with Atomic Wings?
Yeah, absolutely. So Adam had approached us about being master franchisees, my brother and I, in, you know, certain areas. And, you know, throughout the talks and discussions with Adam, he was doing this since he got out of college. He basically, you know, right out of college, he opened up the first wing restaurant in New York City called Atomic Wings. And he was burnt out. He really didn't have the wherewithal to move the brand forward and just didn't have the foresight to see it through. And, you know, he was pretty burnt out. He wanted to try new things and gave us the opportunity to purchase the franchise. And, you know, I saw a lot of great things in a franchise. The quality of the food, the fresh, never frozen, the flavors that we had. It's all been great and tremendous. And I do see a lot of growth in this space.
How many franchisees did they have when you guys took it over?
They had about, I believe, two franchisees. So they had two brick and mortar locations since 2016. And we haven't, you know, the first couple of years, really what I did was, you know, I kind of looked at, as a franchisee, you know, how it was with Dunkin' and brought that over to Atomic Wings, you know, kind of took care of the back end of things first and foremost, you know, made sure that our branding was up to date, revamped our website, created an Atomic Wings app, as well as getting our supply chains in order, you know, making sure that we have the proper vendor contracts to make sure our franchisees are profitable. Once we did that, you know, we actually ballooned from two brick and mortar locations to 11 brick and mortar. And it's been organic growth, word of mouth and things of that sort, people reaching out to us. We've been really selective as to who we brought on as franchisees. And, you know, we've really been invested in our locations being successful, you know, from the get-go. So we've turned on a lot of people and, you know, we want franchisees that are active and not absentee owners. That's really important to our brand.
And Dunkin' was fine with you guys doing this?
Yeah, I mean, we kind of split the task. So my brother has the Dunkin' side and I kind of had the Atomic Wings side. Yeah.
So tell me about Atomic Wings. I mean, I love the name, first of all, and I love wings, and a lot of people do. So tell me, you know, I don't know that much about the concept. I'm sure there's a lot of people listening who don't either, but want to learn. I mean, wings are so popular now. So kind of walk me through, you know, the look and the feel and the taste and what it is that Atomic Wings offers that's different from the competition.
Absolutely. So, you know, first and foremost, the Atomic Wings is known as the authentic buffalo wing of New York City. Adam Lippin had actually worked at Duff's Bar, which is up in Buffalo, which is credited for creating the buffalo wing. So a lot, like you mentioned, the wing space has blown up recently over the years. You know, a lot of success stories out there. And a lot of people are doing wings, but we want to be known as the flavor kings, you know, of wings.
Is that a mark you guys have? Is that a tagline? The flavor king, the wings?
Nah, it should be.
Oh, come on, Zach. I mean, you gotta trademark that.
I gotta get on that. But you know what we've done is our product is always fresh. It's never frozen. So to this day, you know, our staffs are preparing our wings and our boneless wings on a daily basis. Our food is cooked to order. So as you come in, you're getting a hot, fresh meal. You know, we don't have any hot holding units. None of that in our locations. Our boneless wings, which are breaded, are hand cut and breaded on a daily basis as well. And then they're tossed, they're hand tossed in our flavors. 90% of our flavors are gluten-free as well.
How many flavors do you guys have?
We have over 14 flavors and we're going to be releasing two more.
All right, tell us some of them. Just rattle off some of them.
Some of the more exotic, you know, we have our traditional buffalo hot, medium mild. And then if you want to get crazy and a little more spicy, we have our atomic and nuclear sauces. But then we have our exotic flavors, such as our Thai chili, lemon pepper, garlic parmesan, you know, honey barbecue is always a popular flavor amongst fans.
I mean, are these homemade sauces, truly homemade?
Yeah, so these are our own proprietary sauces that we did a lot of research and development into, going back and forth. You know, it would be hard to make them in our homes now, but we did give our recipes to our manufacturer who creates them for us.
And what's your favorite? What's your go-to?
My go-to is the lemon pepper or Thai chili.
So here's the thing about wings, and I just know other people are like this too. I mean, it's the wings, it's the sauces, and then it's the dip, right? I mean, yeah. do you guys have a ranch and blue cheese option? Do you have other options?
Yeah, we do have our own Atomic Wings chunky blue cheese option, which is a prepackaged dipping cup. And during COVID, a lot of people want to see that as opposed to the workers pouring blue cheese into those 2 ounce containers and putting the lids on. So ours come prepackaged and ready to go.
And you got the carrots and the celery to kind of go along with the wings.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, now we're getting a sense for this place. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So what else you guys offer? Anything or just wings?
We offer our boneless wings and our tenders as well. We actually just rolled out our new crispy chicken sandwich, available in original and spicy.
Oh, that has to be popular, right?
Yeah. And how many are offering it in 14 different flavors?
Oh, that's incredible. Really? You're doing it 14?
Yeah. So, if you wanted a garlic parmesan chicken sandwich, you can get that. That's what differentiates us from everyone else.
Oh, see, I like that because, you can go get your one at, wherever, Chick-fil-A, Popeyes, whatever. I know people say those are great. They're so popular right now. It's so funny because it's a chicken sandwich. It's been around forever, but it's this whole combination of the hot chicken and all that stuff that is just the rage right now.
Yeah, it's just, it's caught on. Like you said, McDonald's had a chicken sandwich years ago, right? The crispy chicken sandwich years ago, or Burger King. And, it's just kind of taken off and taken a life of its own. But what sets us apart from everyone else, I think, is, as I mentioned, the fresh, never frozen component. And just like everything else, the chicken breast is getting hand breaded, cooked to order. So you're getting a fresh, chicken sandwich.
Do you have salads, too, with the option of having the chicken on it?
Absolutely. So, we have our, our Caesar chicken salad or, our crispy buffalo blue salad to go along with it.
And so when you walk into one of your locations, here's what I'm imagining, and you tell me where I'm going right or wrong, because I've never been to one, but
yeah.
I'm imagining it's an ideal square footage of maybe 12 to 1500 square feet, or is that too big?
Actually, it's about 800 to 1200 square feet. We're a quick service restaurant, and we like to keep that small footprint.
Yeah, so you're coming in and then people can see sort of the options, or at least, there's a menu board in front and then it's made when they order, probably not too many seats. People come in, order, maybe can sit down at a few tables and then go if they like, or just get it to go.
Absolutely. Yeah. A lot of our locations do have some TVs up. If you're ordering and don't want to miss the game while you're in the store, you can, quickly glance and check out the scores as well. Our colors are Carolina blue and orange. We have our branding all over the locations. So absolutely, you hit the nail on the head. So that's really how it is.
It's so interesting to me because with COVID, right now, the people I'm talking to, my clients and others, there's certain ones who are traditional restaurants who are doing okay, doing fine. That's more in the minority, I would say, because it's just hard. I mean, it's hard if you don't have the outdoor seating, it's hard to get the volume, or if you haven't been able to convert a parking lot into, some sort of tent with outdoor seating or something like that. But the quick service places like yours, Atomic Wings and other kinds of places, seem to be doing okay. And in some instances seem to be doing well during this because people just kind of want to come in, get their thing and go.
Yeah, Josh, it's been amazing. When this first started, I didn't know what to expect from our restaurants. We're mostly in New York and we were kind of the ground zero of everything happening all over. We got hit pretty hard. And immediately, being a franchisor, this is one thing I know that, some might not do, but I immediately cut royalties in half because I didn't know what to expect. I said, I want to make sure these guys are all right. But surprisingly enough, their sales went up. Most of our locations shot up by over 100% in sales. So they were doubling sales and, it's been great. We've been in a space, so we knew what to do with our takeout and delivery options. And it was a quick pivot we didn't really have to pivot because that's what we were doing day in and day out.
Now, are you in the city?
Absolutely.
Yeah. How's that been? I mean, I'm not sure I've talked to somebody or interviewed somebody on the show who's actually in the city. Maybe I have since COVID. I can't recall. But, obviously when everything was shut down, I mean, you guys are shut down for a decent period of time, right?
Well, our restaurants remained open, but the city itself, yes.
were you doing a delivery? I mean, were people actually ordering delivery at that time?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say is that, I didn't really know what to expect, but, our sales went up.
See, this is the story you don't hear. You don't hear these kind of stories because, you know, outside of New York, you feel like, oh my gosh, the whole city shut down. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh my God, if I'm a restaurant there with the rents and all that other stuff, it's just.
You know, our two locations that did get affected were in office locations. Basically, our Wall Street location was affected. And our Midtown New York location were, you know.
Which is like two of the locations you would imagine in your wildest dreams would never be effective because they're probably on the first floor of an office building that's packed with people.
Yeah, unfortunately, no one's on Wall Street right now. So, you know, all those office spaces are empty and, you know, they've been affected. But they've held pretty strong. So, you know, that's encouraging.
And are you seeing, I mean, you know, from your vantage point, obviously, with you guys doing fine and going through this and you know, to your credit, making the decision to take half off the royalties for a period, help your franchisees, which is, it's always a good thing. And obviously you come from a franchisee mindset as well, because you are a franchisee.
Yeah.
You have been a franchisee. But what are some other things that you're seeing from a restaurant perspective and from the quick service perspective, you know, that you don't think is going to change or going to go back to how it was post COVID?
You know, I'm talking to a lot of my franchisees right now on the Atomic Wing side, and I'm saying, hey, you know, what have you learned from this? You know, what have you learned from all this? And they're saying, I was really overstaffing and, you know, or not using my employees the right way. And they've kind of readjusted how they're using their employees and making sure they're getting the most out of their employees during this whole time. So they've done a great job with that. You know, they haven't laid off anyone and or anything like that. They've kept their entire staff, but they've readjusted how they're using their staff. And it's been great to see. I think a lot of us had to change the way we do things. And because of COVID, you didn't want to have in an 800 square feet space, you don't want to have 10 employees on top of each other. It just wasn't something that was real safe or something that we wanted to do. So, you know, they kind of brought the, you know, per shift person down and they've worked a lot better that way. They've, you know, been able to multitask and kind of pay attention to what they need to do.
How's your expansion thoughts gone? I mean, are you rethinking how you want to expand at this point? Are you actively seeking? I imagine you're actively seeking franchisees at this point, but how are you tailoring that to this sort of COVID world that we're in right now?
You know, it's been great. We've had a lot of the bigger wing players, the ones that, you know, have a sit down restaurants, you know, reach out
5,000 square feet, 6,000, and they have nobody in there.
Yeah, and they have to pivot, right? They have to change their model, and they've reached out about buying our brand, and you know, it's something that I'm really not interested in doing at this point because I do see the future, and I do see the growth potential. I've had a lot of interested franchisees reach out to us across the nation. And I think we're going to see a lot of growth in the upcoming years here.
Well, it's interesting too, because to a certain extent, I mean, if you really, if people are honest with themselves, the trends were all there even pre-COVID, right? I mean, the trends going more towards the quick service. I mean, there's always been a popularity amongst quick service, but it's sort of this high quality, fresh type mentality. And it was trending that way anyways. And COVID just kind of exponentially sped it up where it's like, well, yeah, people are going to go in, get their stuff and get out. I'm curious, after all these years of being involved in franchising, I mean, certainly you have a lot of experiences and so forth. And as we sort of finish up this interview, I'm kind of curious. You've obviously dealt with challenges, you know, obviously health challenges and all those sorts of things. And it's a credit to you to get through all of that. What's been the biggest challenge from a franchise perspective? I mean, both as a franchisee and a franchisor, because you're somewhat unique. I don't know if you know this or appreciate it, but there's not too many people who are franchisees and franchisors.
Yeah.
There sometimes are people who were one or the other, you know, but at the same time and with that background, I'm curious what you have found over the years to be some of the bigger challenges and how you've dealt with them.
I think any franchisee will say the biggest challenge they have is labor. Finding the right folks to jump on and be part of your, you know.
And that never ends.
That never ends. That's been, you know, something throughout the throughout history that's I'm sure everyone has said is, you know, labor. Finding the right team and finding the right individuals to join your team. Especially during COVID, it's been a challenge. You know, folks didn't want to come in for quite a while. You know, they didn't feel safe, whether you know, it was our older or younger employees. They just, you know, they're saying, hey, you know, I kind of have to stay home for my family. And you have to respect that. it's not something where you're like, oh, you have to come in or you're fired. You know, you have to respect everything that's going on and respect the choices that they make. So we understood and you know, we worked around that. So I think that's been a huge challenge over the years for everyone. As a franchisor, I think the biggest challenge I have is always keeping up with the trend and not getting left behind. You don't want to get left behind. And even though I said there was a small pivot, I think there's a bigger pivot looking towards the future, because I don't see things going back to the sit down restaurants and, you know, spending 2 or 3 hours of your day at a restaurant with the family, as opposed to enjoying it in the luxury of your home where you feel safe and it can get delivered to you or you can pick it up and take it home.
But like you're in New York City. Like, I was talking to my in-laws the other day and we love going to New York, but my father-in-law's from the New York area. And I mean, he was almost like salivating at, oh, I can't. I said, once COVID's all done, what's one restaurant? What's the first restaurant you're going to go to? And he named some French restaurant in New York that, you know, you sit there for 2-3 hours and it's this whole experience. I mean, that's going to be there, right? I mean, don't you think?
I think those, you know, that's definitely going to be there the weekend and things of that sort. You have to keep in mind, New York's probably, you know, we have some of the hardest working people in New York. So they're working, you know, crazy hours and they're coming home Monday through Friday. And I don't think they're, you know, especially the younger generation, you look at how many people have downloaded Uber Eats or Grubhub or Seamless or, you know, any of these third party apps, and the numbers are astonishing. I mean, they've cornered the market. Everyone that you know has one of these apps on their phone.
By the way, do you guys use Uber Eats or do you do your own delivery?
It's a hybrid. Some of our locations use their own delivery folks and some rely on the third party.
Okay. Yeah. I'm always just curious about that, because you're right. I mean, they have gained in popularity, but there's also ups and downs to using those third party.
Huge negative. I mean, yeah. I mean, the down.
You don't make anything, right? I mean, you just don't make, you know, they kill your profit margins.
I mean, they're killing, you know, they take about 30%, you know, 20 to 30%. I had a franchisee pay over, you know, $150,000 in commissions to them.
Wow.
Imagine if that money went back into that franchisee's pocket. What a difference that would make.
Oh, it's huge. And that's why, I mean, there's got to be.
Yeah, New York City actually did a great thing during this whole COVID thing. They actually told these third party apps, you can't charge any commissions if they're using their own drivers. If they are using your drivers, you can only charge at a maximum of 15%. So, you know, they actually, New York City was really ahead of the curve when they did that. And I'm not sure if that's, I think that's going to be the way forward. I think a lot of these companies are going to face that. You see what's happening to Uber in California. I think states and businesses are realizing, hey, we can't survive if we keep paying these guys 30% commissions. And the analogy I make these third parties is, you know, back when I was a kid, I would go on the Yellow Pages and look for a pizza shop and call it up. And really, all they are is today's Yellow Page. That's really what they are. They're just a directory of restaurants.
Well, and they have to, I mean, the thing is, at the end of the day, at some point in time, they're either going to be forced into a somewhat win-win position, or they're just going to have to offer a win-win position. I mean, I don't want to beat up on them too bad, but, you know, if they're charging the 30% or the rates where you as the restaurant can't make any money, I mean, how long is that going to last for? It just doesn't have a long-term strategy.
No.
To it. And so if there's a way to make it a win-win, great. Or somebody else is going to come along and create something else that is going to be the win-win, and everybody's going to dart from there and go to the other thing.
We can only hope. Unfortunately, some of these companies, you know, as you've read and watched the market, they've spent so much money on marketing. It's kind of like a monopoly at times. And, you know, they just have the market cornered. You see Amazon at one point try to get into this, to the delivery business. They quickly got out.
Exactly. It'll be interesting to see. It's such a hot topic in the quick service business. And I mean, just in restaurants all the way around, in anything all the way around. I mean, just obviously delivery to your home, the convenience, all those sorts of things, the quality issues. I mean, all that. I think that is a hot topic now. It's going to be into the future. Thank you, Zach, for coming on. What's the best place for somebody who wants to learn more about your franchise and the franchise opportunity for them to reach out?
Absolutely. I appreciate you having me on. If you're interested in joining our franchise, becoming part of our team, you know, you can visit us at www.atomicwings.com.
Thank you. And I wish you the best of luck and hope your health stays well and stay strong. And we'll talk soon.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you so much for tuning in for another episode of Franchise Euphoria. If you enjoyed this episode or have enjoyed the podcast in general, I would really appreciate it if you could go to iTunes and leave me a rating and review. It really helps to get this podcast out to more and more people. So the easy way to do it is go to iTunes and in the search box, put in Franchise Euphoria. You will then see my cover art and you click on my smiling face that says Franchise Euphoria and then click on the link that says ratings and reviews. It's that simple, but boy, oh boy, does it mean the world to me when people leave ratings and reviews. And like I said, it really helps get the show out there. Once again, would love it if you would go to iTunes and leave a rating and review if you enjoyed this episode or other episodes of the show. And until the next time, happy franchising.